you have to think of a press release as an invitation to the media to learn more about what your book is about and possibly do something about it. That doesn't mean that they're going to. They make it seem that if you give them your anywhere from $200 to $500, that somehow magically you're going to be on the front page of the New York Times, and that's not realistic.
This is Ron Pramschaefer, and welcome to Publish Basics Radio, where weekly we try to help you navigate the self-publishing minefield. Chris, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Quick question here. May sound a little stupid, but what is a press release?
Press release is a news announcement to the media. It's not an article. It's not an advertisement. It's basically a mechanism for announcing something that's actually news to someone who works in the media, meaning a TV station, a talk radio show, or a print magazine. And now, of course, online with all of the blogs and so forth.
Okay, now what would you consider the primary goal of a press release?
Primary goal of a press release traditionally has been to get media coverage, meaning that obviously, it's far more cost-effective to send a press release about your new software product or book to a magazine and have them write about you than to buy a full-page ad or a quarter-page or whatever.
Now, what kind of company would a person go to who wants to send out a press release?
Traditionally, you would use a public relations firm, a PR firm. PR stands for public relations, not press release. Or you would go to a newswire service, such as Business Wire, PR News Wire, Send a Press, Bacon, Burrells, those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
And what those companies do is deliver the news directly to editors based on proprietary distribution lists. The idea being that you're getting the press release directly into the highly targeted hands of the folks that are interested in it, meaning you're not sending cooking news to car magazines, and you're not sending biotech news to veterinarians unless you happen to be doing some kind of weird thing with your animals.
Okay. You've mentioned wire services. How do wire services work? I mean, I've heard Associated Press since I was a kid.
There's a lot of confusion over the term wire service. The term wire service originally came from, let's say, the era of World War II, when there was a dedicated teletype machine, which ran from a phone line to, let's say, an Associated Press office. And a daily newspaper might have the teletype machine sitting there. If you watch an old movie, you'll see, you know, you'll hear the, it's coming over the wire. And what that meant was that there was a story that was being distributed nationally from a service like Associated Press, United Press International, or let's say in the UK, Reuters, that would be coming over a teletype machine to all the different people who had that teletype machine and a phone line would be coming from that news service, and because it was coming over a dedicated phone line, it was called a wire service.
Mm-hmm.
Technically today, a true news wire is any news service that has been around, let's say, longer than 10 years and maintains their own proprietary database.
Okay, now again, back with the Associated Press. So what I'm getting at, you would send a press release to Associated Press.
Mm-hmm.
They would have the option of putting it up as is or rewriting it. I mean, they've got their own staff writers, right?
Well, today, a news service like Associated Press, the way they make their money is twofold. One, they have account news services to be able to access news from the Associated Press system, or UPI or Reuters. And what Associated Press and UPI do now, the way they make most of their revenue is they cherry pick or choose the stories that they think are most interesting that they can sell the most copies of. And if they get 100 press releases in a Monday morning and two of them they find interesting, those two, they will actually take and create their own bylined article, bylined meaning the name of the writer, staff writer, Associated Press, will be attributed to that writer. And they may do some additional research. They may call the company, whatever. They'll create an article about it, and then they'll sell the right to use that article to newspapers and to now websites.
Oh, okay. Because I did a search yesterday at the AP website under like the keyword self-publishing, which you know is who we're talking to here today. And it was basically no articles. Boom. I mean, it was none that they had at that particular moment. Yet, if I entered the same self-publishing into Google News, okay, I came up with 1,730 listings.
Exactly.
Obviously, AP is more selective.
Well, AP and UPI, again, they choose their own stories. For example, I can put out a press release about one kind of a book, and UPI will have absolutely no interest in it. And then another book the same day, this happened 3 weeks ago. They picked up one of our press releases for a client, an ebook of all things. Mm-hmm. But it had an ISBN number, and, you know, it was available in print on demand, but initially it was released as an ebook. UPI picked up the story. It ran all over the place, which I would have told you, you know, even 2 years ago that that was unlikely.
You think they picked it up because it was an ebook or because of the book was about something?
It was about podcasting.
Also, it was a newsworthy.
That was a hot topic that particular day. It was like there was a lot of buzz about that particular day related to Apple's pending announcement of the video iPod, and so there was the Nano would come out. So there was a lot of buzz about the whole podcasting thing.
Okay, if you were to guess, how many press releases you think go out weekly, daily? I mean, here you are, the AP man. You mentioned you get 100 in, and maybe you look at two.
The issue that has come about, and this is, of course, the black side or the dark side of the electronic medium now, is there's a huge influx of what I refer to as news spam. There's a lot of news being distributed now through what I don't refer to as newswire services, but free news sites and folks that basically have spam lists that offer, we'll send your press release to 10,000 people for $49. And mm-hmm. God knows where they're getting these lists. They can't be a legitimate source because no legitimate newswire will give out their database.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the problems is that someone like the LA Times, which used to get, 100 legitimate press releases a day, or let's say a week, I think they're up to getting something like 2,000-3,000 press releases a week now. 90% of it is not legitimate news. It's something that someone has read a book or gone to a seminar or gone to some predatory website and been told, you can promote your Cialis website by putting out a press release.
Well, I mean, that's the company line. I mean, it's self-publishing. This is why we're talking today. I mean, everybody knows to send out a press release, right? I mean, that's it. And there's, pretty much every one of the, publishing services and the POD publishers and the vanity presses or whatever. I mean, press release is right at the top of the list. Send out a press release. So everybody does it.
Yeah, and quite honestly, for a legitimate product, it works very well. For something like a book or a tangible product like a retail box piece of software, antique flooring, mm-hmm. for renovating houses to make them look like they've got 300-year-old hardwood floors rather than, plastic veneer, those physical, tangible products do very well in the media today because it's something that an editor can wrap their head around. They can look at a photo and say, this is a physical book. This is a physical piece of software. This is a physical sculpture of something. Book press releases still work very well. Unfortunately, some of the first-time authors that have written their first romance novel, those are really hard sells to the media,
mm-hmm.
because there's so much romance novels out there. And there's so many big companies like, Harlequin and all of their offshoots that buy a lot of advertising and they have a lot of brand awareness for that.
Mm-hmm.
Technical books do very well. Entertainment books do very well. We recently did some work for a book about Teenager's Guide to the Beatles. Got dozens and dozens of radio interviews. Got, Beatles websites all over the world covered this. Electronic Musician Magazine requested a review copy. It's going to be in there. That, for a very small investment, the author of that book got just massive amounts of publicity that they wouldn't have been able to afford to buy.
So you think pretty much everyone that publishes a book ought to give it a whirl?
I think it doesn't hurt. I think it's just you have to have realistic expectations. Unfortunately, again, the predatory nature of the internet now and the folks that claim to be in the PR business or quote newswire service business, they make it seem that if you give them your, anywhere from $200 to $500, that somehow magically you're going to be on the front page of the New York Times. And that's not practical. That's not realistic. You have to think of a press release as an invitation to the media to learn more about what your book is about and possibly do something about it. That doesn't mean that they're going to.
Okay, now the one thing I found with my own press releases, because I've done some with you, and I've done some with, I've actually tried out some of these other services, mm-hmm. The exact ones you're talking about, free, $20, and I'll send them out to a million places. Didn't get any calls from anybody, but what I did find was that you end up, this is the age of the internet, you end up with links all over the place. And, is that like a saleable byproduct of the press release? I mean, the average person probably isn't going to get called by CNN, right?
But Yes and no. I mean, again, it has to go back. You have to go back to the again, if you're looking to just get your book mentioned on thousands of websites or dozens of websites or whatever, that is an acceptable byproduct of doing a press release if you don't get media response. However, you have to look at the, you know, yeah, you can spend $20 on a free news site and be mixed in with all of the other, quote, news spam. No journalist in their right mind is going to sort through 100 pages of Cialis ads to find your book release.
Mm-hmm.
And no legitimate person in the media like CNN is going to be subscribing to those RSS feeds or pulling those headlines or anything, because, again, it's all, so much of it is spam because there's no editorial guidelines. There's no checking to say, we won't take this because it's not really news.
Mm-hmm.
Problem with the free news site is it's a free news site. It's basically throwing up a content management system and saying, come here and paste your text, whatever you want, into this box, and we'll post it. And for $20, we'll stick it, three spots higher than the guy next to you. That's not news. That's basically buying an advertisement or classified. It's almost like you're buying a news classified ad.
Mm-hmm.
And it can sometimes show up well in search engines, but unfortunately, it also then shows up on websites that are not credible.
What's the general, for lack of a better word, the life expectancy of a press release?
Legitimate news sites take the approach that something that's 6 months old isn't news, is it?
Makes sense to me.
So if you're going to, Forbes.com and you want to look up something that's news, say business news, obviously if it's 6 months old, it's not news anymore because there's 6 months of more recent news there that you might want to be able to look at more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with news.google. News.google tends to cycle stuff out of the news.google system within 30 days. Sites like Yahoo Financial News, which is actually where they post most of their news stories, unfortunately in a place where most people would never find it, usually expires in about 3 months. A lot of the online sites that pull news via automated formats, like the LA Times, might run stories verbatim from a newswire service, but those, or the HollywoodReporter.com, better example. The news will expire in a week because there's only a fixed number of spaces on the page to show that, let's say, the 100 most recent stories.
Okay.
Once it reaches 100, that's where it stops. And so anything, when your story gets to be story number 101, it drops off the page entirely.
Okay, because the one thing that I noticed, that once you drop off of the news, I did like a search show yesterday, whatever, on a Publishing Basics radio. And, I go hot and cold with sending out news releases, and I haven't done it in a while. Okay, I had one pop up under news, Google News, that was back from October. But yet when I went over to just a regular search, it came up like 400 times, and it was all the different places. I mean, I know, like with your service, you also posted on your own website, right? I mean, it was like you could still, it didn't die. It died as a news item, but it didn't die as a link out there in internet land.
Well, again, some of the things now with what are called news aggregation websites, there's some news aggregation websites that archive copies of news stories for the purposes of selling advertising. The idea being that if they post a copy of your story on their website under, let's say, the publishing category, they may keep it up there for a year. They may keep it up there forever. And the reason they're doing that is so they can sell advertising on that page and also sell the right for even your competitors to buy an ad on that same page against your content. So there's some negative to that. But the plus side for you is, of course, that when you type in your company name or a phrase from your original news press release, it'll typically show up somewhere in Google for a long time or Yahoo.
All right. Now, last thing, I'm back to being a self-publisher. I got my first book. It's a, let's say it's a book on how to play golf left-handed or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming to you, Chris. What would you suggest that I do? As far as what kind of program, how much should I spend as my entry level into this whole, PR thing?
Well, one of the things that's unique about what my company does is because, of course, everyone that works at my company has some connection to the book publishing industry. Our lead writer is a best-selling author. I grew up in a household which was full of book authors, and I also have my own book deal now for a book coming out next year. And we are kind of unique in the sense that we take the approach that we don't have a one-size-fit-all. The traditional newswire services like BusinessWire, Peer Newswire, et cetera, tend to want to charge you, you know, $700 for a national press release because that's what they do for Procter & Gamble. The little no-name sites that have popped up in recent years, in some cases, folks that are reselling someone else's service, it's almost like an insurance agency. They're reselling the insurance company services, but they're not actually the insurance company themselves.
Okay.
There's a lot of news services out there that claim to be news wires, but if you were to look a little deeper, you'd see that all they do is resell somebody else's services.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of unique, and it's sometimes a little bit more confusing to order our services, which I will grant you, is that we have several tiers of service. We have a level of service that is fairly inexpensive for a book author, let's say $150, that gives the benefit of our 23-year-old database of being able to send news directly to editors, but also keyword placement in search engines, placement in things like Yahoo News blogs, news.google with a cover, book cover of your book jacket, and syndication all over the web of sites like Bookcatcher grabs our news, things like that.
That sounds pretty reasonable. And then, of course, you have a you have more expensive options, I assume.
Right, more expensive options when we want to roll in some of the things like placement in Reuters.
But you make the judgment, though. I mean, if I'm coming in and you know whether, you know, especially if you're doing books and you do a lot of books, you know whether I'm like qualified to write this book that I've written. You don't, as far as overselling people. I mean,
no, we take the
if I just won the U.S. Open and I just published a book on golf, my guess is you'd be inclined to sell, try to get me into the higher end stuff.
Exactly. So again, it goes back to the thing like for a romance novel, we would steer you to the less expensive plan. If you are someone like one of our recent clients, Susan Powder, who has come back from nowhere and out of retirement, the woman who was doing the Stop the Insanity stuff. Because she's got already some awareness of her name and her background, for her book, it made more sense to do the more expensive plan because when it goes into a system like Reuters or LexisNexis or Comtex or whatever, people are already going, oh, Susan Powder, I know that
name. I know that name.
And there's more of an entertainment opportunity there for her book because she's already got some brand awareness, if you will.
All right. And Chris, the name of your company is Send2Press.com?
Send2Press.com, it's actually legally called Send2Press Newswire, and it was originally called Mindset Netwire, and it's a spinoff of our company that's been around since January of 1983.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been really nice talking to you today, Chris.
My pleasure.
And hopefully all our listeners out there will be clicking on that Send2Press.com and sending you some business.
Great. Look forward to it.
Take care now.
Okay.
For Publishing Basics Radio, this is Ron Pramp-Schaefer. See you next week.
This program is produced by Jack Street Media and sponsored by Publishing Basics Radio. Thanks for listening.